Good morning, my friends, and happy Easter. We continue to celebrate the surprise and wonder of Easter on this third Sunday of the Easter season, and we're very glad to be together on this live stream and to have the privilege of worshiping together. So I welcome you and hope that as you worship from your homes or from the places where you are, that you will participate fully in this service of worship. Encourage you to light a candle if you have one close by, to pay attention to the comment sections, whether you're on live stream or Facebook Live, where there will be prompts and links that you can go to find the hymns and the prayers, opportunities to share your prayer concerns, to give at the time of the offering, and to participate fully in this time of worship. I wanted to let all the children know that we will have a children's moment this Sunday, as usual. It will come right before the sermon, so I will meet you right down here on the steps for that children's moment. I want to say a word of thanks to our youth who did such a wonderful job in leading worship last Sunday, sharing powerful stories and inspiring us in our faith journeys. And we are especially mindful of our seniors. And next Sunday, we'll have an opportunity to celebrate our seniors in our congregation. The seniors who are graduating from high school, from college, and from the Divinity School across the street will be getting to see their faces next Sunday and invite you even now to be praying for these young people as they take the next steps on their journey. A few announcements otherwise as we gather. Throughout this time of quarantine, we've had every weekday at noon a time of prayer on Facebook Live. That will continue in this upcoming week. Starting in May, we're going to shift to only on Wednesdays. We'll have noon prayer together live on Facebook. We did get word yesterday also from our bishop that he is asking all churches to continue live stream only worship through the month of May. So we will be gathering together over the Ethernet or the internet for the following month and just do what we can to do our part to keep our community healthy and safe. These are all the announcements we have for this morning. As we gather for worship, we meet two disciples on the road to Emmaus who encounter the risen Christ and are given new life through that encounter. May all of us, whatever journey we are on, encounter the risen Christ this day and this time of worship.
between fear and hope.
Christ meets us on the road between despair and resurrection.
Like the disciples long ago, we seek the company of Jesus.
Let us worship our Lord, who is standing in our midst.
Christ is always present with us, always extending mercy and grace to all. Therefore, let us confess our sins together, that we might live as resurrection people. Holy and merciful God, we come before you as a broken people. Although your grace surrounds us everywhere we go, and although you walk with us on our journey, too often we turn away from your merciful invitation to live freely for you and one another. Forgive us, O God. Help us to recognize your risen nature and guide us that we might walk with you. O God of Easter, come to us as we are, but leave us transformed through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Peace be with you. Peace
be with you.
Good morning, and please join me in the Easter prayer for illumination. Resurrecting God, open our hearts to your holy word, so that we may truly understand, and understanding that we may believe, and believing that we may follow Jesus Christ in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. The gospel reading today is from Luke, chapter 24, starting at verse 13. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles outside of Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened in the last few days. While they were talking, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes kept them from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's been happening in the recent days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us this morning. They were at the tomb early today, and when they did not find his body, they came back and told us that they indeed had seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found that just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead of them as if he was going to leave. But they urged him strongly, "Please stay with us. It is almost evening and the day is almost done." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. But as soon as they recognized him, he vanished. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then the two men told the others what had happened on the road and how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Now I'd like to invite all the children to move a little bit closer so that you can see me and I can see you. And I think I'm going to look at this camera right here. So maybe you can see me, and I'm imagining all of your sweet faces in your homes this morning. I want to talk a little bit with you this morning about prayer. Sometimes we think that we don't really know how to pray, that prayer must be something that only grown-ups really know how to do, or it's kind of hard. We're supposed to know these big words or somehow be experts in prayer. But really, prayer is talking to God and listening to God and just spending time with God. Sometimes it helps me to think about God as a friend. In this Bible story that Mr. Frank just read for us, there are two friends who are walking down a road together. And they're both feeling sad, and they're both talking about how they're feeling and what they've been through. And suddenly, Jesus comes alongside them. Now, they don't recognize him. They don't know he's Jesus, but they treat him like a friend. And they start telling him how they're feeling. And he listens, and he cares about them. And then he shares with them and starts to give them some hope that things might get better. And so I want you to think about just talking to God as a friend. It's really hard right now when we are supposed to be staying in our homes and we don't get to have play dates with our friends or go outside and play with our friends and throw the ball back and forth or do the hula hoop together. And so it can be hard when you're not able to see your friends. But maybe it will help to think about God being your friend. And anytime you want to, you can take a walk with God and talk to God. You can talk to God in your room anytime at all. And God will be right there to listen. Let's talk to God right now as our friend. Loving God, you are like a friend to us. You're with us all the time. We're never separated from you. And we thank you for that. Help us to talk to you like a friend. To trust that you love us no matter what. Help us to listen for anything you might have to say to us. And help us just to enjoy being with you. We miss our friends, O God, and we thank you that you are a friend to us. Help us all to stay connected in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much, and I'm giving you a virtual hug through the computer. To dive into our story together this morning, we're going to have to go back in time to Easter Sunday. Not Easter Sunday 2 weeks ago, even though that feels like it was about 8 years ago, but I mean Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago, the very first Easter morning. That first Easter morning, before the disciples of Jesus knew that he was alive again. In Luke's gospel, we find them all huddled together, not just the 11 disciples, but a larger group of those who had been following Jesus and considered themselves to be his disciples. Some of the women had gone to the tomb that morning and found it empty, and they'd met angels who told them that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And so they went and they knocked on the door of this gathering of the other disciples, and they told them what they'd seen, but they were not believed. And so most of the disciples of Jesus were at this place of hopelessness and grief. And there were two of them, in fact, who had totally given up. It's in the 24th chapter of Luke's gospel that we meet them. They're two disciples we've never met before, and we only know the name of one of them, Cleopas. It may be on purpose that Luke doesn't tell us the name of the other one. Maybe by leaving this other disciple anonymous, he's inviting us to put ourselves in the story. He's inviting us, the disciples of Jesus today, to put ourselves in their shoes and to imagine what it must have been like to be them. There are two places in this story in particular that I really identify with these two disciples today. There's something about their experience that resonates so much with our experience in this moment right now. The first moment comes when Jesus, the risen Christ, appears to them and begins walking with them. Now, they don't know it's Jesus. In their eyes, he's just a stranger. They don't recognize him. But he just comes alongside them and asks them, "What is it that you're talking about as you walk along?" And Luke tells us they stood still, looking sad. I really feel for them in that moment. They are paralyzed by their grief. They have lost so much. They've lost everything. And they don't know where to go from here. They had put all of their hopes in Jesus. They believed they understood what God was doing in Jesus. They were on a path. They had a purpose. They were ready to follow Jesus wherever he would lead. And then now, he's gone. He's dead. He's been defeated by the religious leaders and by the powers of Rome. And it's all over. And now they have no purpose. They have no path. They don't know what to do. They're cut adrift. I don't know about you, but I feel that way a lot these days. I thought we were on a path. I thought I knew where the near future was taking us. I had a purpose. I had things I needed to do. That life was going on, and suddenly everything has stopped. For so many of us. I know there are many who are working harder than ever in the hospitals and in the grocery stores, trying to keep our economy going, trying to keep people healthy. But for many of us, life has really come to a standstill. And like these two disciples, we stand still, looking sad, grieving for all that we've lost. Jesus, their anonymous companion, asks them to tell him more about their experience. And so they begin to talk about this man, Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, great in the eyes of God and all the people. And they explain to him how they understood who Jesus was and what his mission was and what God was up to. And then they say the three saddest words in all of Scripture, I think. We had hoped. We had hoped, but we don't hope anymore. They have lost all hope in what they thought God was doing. Boy, those three words resonate for me today, and perhaps for you too. We had hoped to be celebrating a wedding this weekend. We had hoped to be celebrating a graduation with our son in a few weeks. That's my story. We had hoped to take a mission trip to Guatemala this spring. We had hoped that his body would be able to fight off the virus. We had hoped that this new job would be the one that stuck. We had hoped to be able to stay in our apartment. We had hoped. We had hoped. My friends, in this moment in our world's history, there are so many of us who are grieving what we have lost. And for some of us, with things like weddings and graduations, we tell ourselves, oh, that's not as important as some of these other things. And I think that's true. Some of these losses are ones that we can work through and get past, while others have suffered the death of a loved one, the loss of a job. But all of it is grief. Whatever it is that you have lost in these days and weeks, it is very deep and real grief. And this story invites us to name it, and to name it before Christ, our companion. See, these two disciples help us name where we are, but then the story opens up a whole other level of hope. Because now we can turn our eyes on this stranger and see how it is that he comes alongside these disciples. We know, as readers of the story, that the stranger is the risen Christ himself. And even though the two disciples on the road don't know it yet, we get to observe how Jesus walks with them and talks with them. In a very gentle, quiet way, he comes alongside them and just says, "Tell me what you're talking about." He meets them right where they are. In fact, he goes out of his way to find them. They've left the other disciples behind. They've left Jerusalem. They've given up. And he goes out to find them. And he meets them right where they are and just asks them to tell me more. Tell me about where you are, what you're feeling, what your experience has been. And he listens with love and compassion and asks deeper questions. And then, after they've been able to lay it all out before him, he begins to guide the conversation. And he turns them toward the scriptures. And he notices that how they have understood him and his mission and what God was up to was far too small. And he begins to open up the scriptures and tell them and reveal to them the long story of what God's great plan has always been from the beginning of time. And how these most recent events of Jesus' death have now led to the salvation of the world, because the Messiah has been raised. And as he opens the scriptures to them, their hearts begin to stir. Their eyes are not fully opened yet. They don't recognize him completely for who he is yet. But already there's something about him, and they want to spend more time with him. They want to stay with him. And so once they arrive at their destination in Emmaus, as the stranger starts to walk away, they say, "Wait, stay with us." And the word they use there in the Greek is the same word as abide. Abide with us. Remain with us. They know enough to want more. And so it is they invite him in. And they gather at the table, and suddenly their guest becomes their host. He is now the host at the table. And he takes the bread, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, and he gives it to them. And it is in that moment that their eyes are fully opened. There's so many ways in which this story of the two companions traveling to Emmaus is like a metaphor for the journey of discipleship, of that journey of becoming a disciple of Jesus for the very first time. Jesus meets us where we are in life, walks with us along the way, and through the teachings of the scriptures and spending time with other believers, we come to learn of him and learn the stories and begin to appreciate it with our minds. But the moment comes when we have to invite him in to our lives. And that's where he takes up residence, at the host of the table of our hearts. It's a beautiful metaphor for the journey into discipleship. But I know that many of you made that invitation to Christ a long time ago, maybe at your confirmation or sometime later as a teenager or later in life. You made the decision to say, "Yes, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. I want Jesus to be the head of my table." But even so, this story of the two disciples on the way to Emmaus can be an invitation to invite Jesus into this moment in our lives. I remember years ago when I first started in ministry, I was on staff at a large church, and there was a retired pastor who was our pastor of visitation. And he spoke really quietly. He didn't say much, but everything he said was so wise. I remember him one day talking about how we give God the keys to our life, and then we take them back again. Every day we're taking the keys back from God. And I think the same can be said of this story. We find ourselves over and over again in our lives in this place of standing still and feeling sad. This place where we've decided that God is in a box and that we've understood all there is to know about God. But again and again, God comes alongside us, meets us where we are, and stretches and widens our understanding of who God is and what God is up to in the world. And then once again, we have the opportunity to invite that God to take the seat at the head of the table in our lives. So, my friends, the invitation comes right from the pages of the scriptures this morning, from this beautiful, powerful story of Jesus on the road to Emmaus with these two disciples. He stands ready, the risen Christ, who has met us right where we are in this moment. Let us invite him in and allow him to break bread and feed us and be the Lord of our lives once again. Amen.
one of the ways that we invite Jesus to take up residence in our hearts and for God to be a part of our lives is to claim our faith together. So now I invite you to rise in body or spirit and join me in our affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, I will invite you in a moment to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. Also, if you would like to share prayers with us and with the pastoral team, you may follow the link that is under Contact Us on our website. Also on our live feed, there should be links showing up in the comments section at this time. And that is a place where you can easily leave confidential prayer requests for us and for your pastoral staff. And we still gather each Monday to pray for you and all of your prayer concerns and everything that is going on in our congregation and around the world. One prayer request that I have to share this morning is that our Christian sympathy goes to Susie, Carl, Will, and Charlie Hansen, who are grieving the loss of their grandfather and grand-grandfather, great-grandfather, Joseph Daniel Bright of Centennial, Colorado, who passed away on April 10th at the age of 97. He served in World War II in the Army Air Corps and lived in Wheaton, Illinois, before retiring to Colorado. A memorial service will be held at Fort Logan later this summer. Now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls to go to God in a time of prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Jesus Christ, compassionate companion, we are glad you are here with us on this journey. Like the travelers on the road to Emmaus, we are living in strange times that have us talking and wondering about what comes next. And yet, even on this road, you are walking with us, even if we don't first see it. We pray today that you would be revealed to us in our daily lives, in simple acts like the breaking of bread. In these days where our lives have been radically altered and many of us find our daily routines pared back to the basics, help us see that you are always present, even in the simplest parts of life. Spirit of life that conquers even death, surround us and sustain us with your love. We pray that your healing presence would be known throughout the world. Permeate our lives with your divine devotion, as many of us struggle mightily with physical, mental, and spiritual needs. In this time when many of us feel disconnected from those whom we most care about and who care about us and support us in our daily lives, we give thanks that you are our constant companion in all things. We pray that you would warm the hearts of all who need you this day. And we pray that you would do likewise for us. Holy Jesus, you are truly our friend. In these days, it is more difficult than ever to say all that needs to be said. And so, as we do with the best of friends, we ask that you would simply stay here with us and listen for a while. Listen as we offer the many people and places, fears, sorrows, concerns, and needs that trouble our souls today as we enter a time of silent prayer. And now, as thankful followers on this journey of faith with you, we pray the prayer that you taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we reach the time when we invite you to give your tithes and offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in our community and throughout the world. You may give through our website, or you may use the text to give function as well. You may also mail in a check to the church. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So let us give with joy this morning.
Oh. Thank you. they ran back to Jerusalem to join the other disciples
and tell them how they had experienced the risen Christ. I look forward to the day when we gather together once again as the body of Christ and share the stories of the many ways we have experienced the risen Christ right here, right now, in our daily lives. Until that day comes, my friend, may we be connected through the Holy Spirit, through the love of God, and through the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is risen. May we be people of hope. Amen. Thank you.